When you heard those scriptures being read tonight, when it first starts, you may not know who it is. But when you get to that latter part and you read, they took my garments, they gambled for them, not a bone was broken, and all that was transpiring there, you and I need to understand that the Old Testament in the life of David went to the cross of Jesus. David did not understand about the cross of Jesus in the way that you and I understand it. But in the poetic language of Psalms 22, there is that which gets to our heart and touches our hearts. And you and I need to understand that the cross is the central event in the history of mankind on this earth. For you see, mankind needs the cross. The nature of man has not changed at all. If you'd been in the Garden of Eden, do you think you might have been the one that ate that forbidden fruit? Just think of how widely pressed sin is as a part of our society. Human nature hasn't changed. You look at the time when the world became so wicked that not one thought of man's heart was good. It was on evil continually. There's no room for goodness in their hearts. And you watch the news and you think, my, oh my, that sounds so much like the world in which we live this day. Human nature hasn't changed. You and I look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and you and I look at Sodom and Gomorrah through eyes that are so different from the eyes of the popularizing of homosexuality in our society. You and I need to understand and appreciate, we look at Sodom and Gomorrah through the eyes of God. And the world looks at it through the eyes of Satan to try to get men to be as corrupt as they can and to bring about men being separated from God. Human nature has not changed. And because of that, I want us to go to the cross of Jesus and look at the nature of the people who were there at the cross of Jesus. Who was there? We want to look at six or seven of these individuals tonight and say, is this us? We may identify ourselves with some of these individuals who were there at the cross. Before you ever get to the cross, you get to Pilate washing his hands. Are you aware that Pilate knew that Jesus was the Son of God? You read that account of how Pilate is doing everything he can to try to persuade the individuals not to crucify Jesus. He kept pleading again and again, what evil has he done? Behold your king, mock him. What shall I do with this man Jesus? Let me release someone to you. And they chose a corrupt, vile individual above the Son of God. What did Pilate do? He was not at the cross, but he represents those individuals who will not take a stand for that which they know to be right. We ourselves sometimes may do this very kind of thing. We may ourselves wash our hands and as it were, as Pilate could say, well, I just did what they wanted me to do. Pilate, you knew he was the Son of God. And yet you could place the blame of your not living and becoming a child of God and living a godly life, you could have placed that blame on all of those that were around you. And so there are those in our society who are just like Pilate. Who was not at the cross? Judas was not at the cross. You and I know the story about Judas. You know how little he treasured the Lord or how little he treasured his identification with the Lord, and his price was 30 pieces of silver. Someone has said, the devil will give you anything you want to win your souls. Do you think Jesus would have been tempted by 30 pieces of silver? No, no. But you know how, when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he offered him the entire kingdoms of all of that were on this earth. Worship me, and I'll give you all of these kingdoms. What's your price, Jesus? And Pilate thought, if I could just give him all of the kingdoms of this world. But here's Judas. But you see, Judas, his plan was not what he thought it might have been. Whenever he recognized all that was transpiring, he might have even thought the Lord could have performed some miracle. Had he not, in John chapter 6, when they were trying to take him to make him king, just left out and nobody ever saw him leave? Could not Jesus do this and I'll be 30 pieces of silver richer? That didn't work out. And he went out, and with evidently a remorseful heart, he hanged himself. Do you know anybody that's ever been like that? Ever? Now, I'm not talking necessarily about suicide, but there is that which is in their life that they've done. They're so much ashamed of it. David, this morning, whenever you talked about Jesus telling, or those angels telling those women, you go and tell them to meet me in Galilee. You go and tell the apostles to meet me in Galilee. And he said, and Peter. I've thought about, and Judas. Do you know the very nature of Jesus? Had Judas repented, you and I know God's attitude toward that individual. But let's not be like Judas. Let's not be those who have come to a realization that I've done wrong and then go down the wrong path to trying to solve it. Pilate went down the wrong path. And Judas went down the wrong path. Had he really known what the Lord was like, it might have been, go tell Peter and Judas to meet me in Galilee. Does he represent some individual that you've known? Some individual who in their life has done such horrendous things that they think there's no forgiveness for them? Judas represents some individuals in our society. Who else was at the cross? What about those religious leaders? When you read of those last few hours of Jesus on this earth, the most prominent individuals in there, the most prominent one are these religious leaders. It's Annas. It's Caiaphas. They fully understand. They could not deny that a miracle had been done. They fully understand that Jesus had made some claims and he'd given them the evidence, but in spite of it, here are these religious leaders. And for whatever reason, for their own ego, for their jealousy over the fact that the masses were following him and not following them, they would not stand for that which was right. But you and I need to understand that leadership and that role of responsibility that you have when you stand in that position, the Bible says, James chapter 3 and verse 1, be not many of you teachers, knowing you'll receive the heavier judgment. Imagine being those religious individuals who were there, who caused the multitudes to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And they were there at the cross and at the foot of the cross, hurling rebuke. He saved others. Let him save himself. If you're the Son of God, come off the cross and then we'll believe. Who's that? That's individuals who have rejected Jesus and are causing the masses to reject Jesus. Our world is divided religiously. And so much of that religious division is coming from religious leaders. Who was at the cross? Judas was there. Religious leaders were there. And then, as he was being crucified, the Bible talked about those who passed by. He was at Golgotha. He was at the place where there were individuals, and there were individuals walking by that place, and they were able to look up and see the banner that was there above the cross of Jesus. The King of the Jews. And as they passed by, they would have seen that, but some of them would have passed by and hardly noticed it. People don't see everything. And our world is made up of individuals who are walking beside the cross of Jesus, for they hear of it, but they have no appreciation at all for the nature of that cross. They've been blinded by the cries of religious leaders, or have become so busy in their life they don't have any time to think. But there were individuals who passed by, and they, when they passed by, were totally indifferent to what was happening. You not know that they represent so much of America? Do you not recognize that America knows about the cross of Jesus, and yet it's treated with total indifference? The most important time there's ever been, His death and His resurrection, they are absolutely indifferent to the central event in the history of all mankind. You start in Genesis, and everything in the book of Genesis goes to that end part of the life of Jesus. And when you get to the other side, everything of the rest of the New Testament points back and says, look at that. Don't pass by without seeing the importance of that. But they were indifferent. There were others who passed by who became the followers of those false teachers. When Jesus had performed one miracle, the argument that was made to try to negate the importance of it, have any of the leaders, have any of the scribes, have any of the Pharisees, have any of these religious leaders believed in Him? That's not the way you find truth. And yet in America, there are individuals who know somewhat about the cross of Jesus but do not understand its significance and what they know about it. They know about it through the eyes and the preaching and teaching of individuals who are leading them astray. Judas was there. The religious leaders were there. Those who were passers-by and indifferent were there. And then there were those passers-by who the Bible describes as they wagged their heads at Him. That song, that new song that we sing that says, as I saw Jesus being crucified, I found my voice among the scoffers. We cannot afford to be indifferent. Who else at the foot of the cross? I'll tell you some who were not there, and that's the apostles. They are individuals who have had every opportunity on earth. But Matthew chapter 26 says that when that mob came out, they all forsook Him and fled. Jesus in the upper room said, all of you will be offended at me this night. And when that mob came out, the Bible says, every one of them turned their back on Jesus. That's different from what Pilate did. They were different in the fact that they returned, at least some of them, and all of them that Judas returned to become followers and proclaimers of the very message that Jesus had given to them. But they forsook him. You and I need to understand, there's no place in our hearts to be those who forsake other individuals when they need us most. The compassion that David talked about this morning and all that was shown in the life of Jesus is evidence of the fact that if we're going to be like them, Jesus was moved with compassion when he looked at Jerusalem. The Bible said, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and kills those that have been sent unto you, how often I would have gathered you. And the Bible said, and he was weeping when he said it. No wonder. No wonder whenever Peter is denying Jesus, Jesus looks at him and the heart of Peter melts. They forsook him. And if there are those times in your life in which you have forsaken the Lord, I beg of you, don't you be like those individuals who took the easy route like Judas did, knowing, being sorry, but be like those individuals who came at the cross. You've got to mention John, do you not? The Apostle John. You see, Jesus looked at John and told John, look at your mother, talking about Mary, his own mother. I'm dying. John was there. And though he had forsaken him, evidently in Gethsemane, he's there at the foot of the cross, and he is, so far as we know, the only apostle that was there at the foot of the cross. And so when others forsake the Lord, when those individuals in whom you have great confidence, whenever they forsake the Lord, you be like John. Or if you've been like Peter, don't remain, because when Jesus said, and Peter, and Judas, he could have put your very name there. And if you're wayward and you're away from God, why would you not come tonight at the singing of this invitation? Why would you not come and say, let me be like Peter. Let me be like one who repents. Let me be like that individuals. Peter was there. Peter was not there, except his heart was there. And your heart right now can be at the cross of Jesus. What happened at the cross? What about that Gentile centurion? He was a man of renown, a man of nobility. And when he saw Jesus crucified, he says, surely this was the Son of God. Unbelievers. And it may be that tonight you've had questions in your heart about the deity of Jesus, but would you not be honest enough as that centurion was, who saw all the evidence that was there, and he said, he's the Son of God. And if you're a wayward Christian, why would you not right now, as you think about all the evidence there is that Jesus is the Son of God, why would you not respond to this invitation tonight and say, I'm ready to start again. I don't want to be like Judas. I was a Christian and I've wandered away, but I'm not going to be like Peter. Deny him. I'm going to be and flee. I'm going to be that individual who's like John, and who is as honest as that centurion. Who's at the cross? Who never forsook him? The women. Sometimes read the last two chapters of Luke and read about the women. They are the link between the cross and the empty tomb. They're mentioned again and again and again. They looked and saw where he was laid. Don't tell me they came to the wrong tomb. And they were those who were there, and when he was crucified, they beheld him. They beheld him where he was laid, and they were there on the resurrection morning. To those of you who are faithful Christian, I encourage you to look at these women and say, that's exactly the way I'm going to be. God being my helper, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to know who he is. I'm going to know who that individual is. There's one other individual who was there that represents you. And I changed the concept of representation. There was one who was hanging on the cross who represents you. In what sense? Well, not in the sense that Judas might represent you, or Peter, or all of the apostles, or these individuals who were there and who wandered away. He represents you because at the cross, we should have been there. The wages of sin is death, and had there not been the cross of Jesus, he took my sins and my sorrow. The Bible says the Lord laid on him the sins of us all, and may the hearts of each one of us say, the Lord laid on him my sins. And he bore it all at Calvary. And had there not been that individual who suffered on our behalf and in our place, we'd all be hell bound. What about you tonight? Where are you in your relationship to the Lord? Are you not a Christian? Will you not let the faith that you have in Jesus, will you not let that faith fortify you, lift you up enough tonight to say, this is the night I'm going to become a Christian. I know he's the Son of God. I know the one who was on the cross. The evidence is there. I'm as convinced as the centurion was. Truly, this was the Son of God. And when you make that realization in your life, you can repent and turn away from the wrong, from the kind of life that you have been living, and be baptized into the very body of Jesus. That's God's eternal plan. But if you've been there, and you've wandered away, why would you not tonight let this be the night that says, I am coming back to the Lord? If the Lord would receive Judas, and he would have had he repented, he will receive you. And embrace the story of the love when he was on the cross, and let the embracing of that story cause you to think soberly about where you are right this very minute. If the Lord were to come back right now, where would you be spending eternity? If you don't like the answer to that, then I beg of you to change that answer by responding to this invitation as together we all stand and sing.